Randy and I went out this afternoon. We went out to shoot our guns and make sure that, you know, that's what rednecks do. And we wanted to make sure everything was okay. We got to see something cool. We saw an eagle today. There was a buck laying there in the ditch, the dead buck, down there past Kenny Moody's. And we were on the way back. We looked, man, and there was a couple of buzzards, but there was something with a white head and a white tail. We said, look at that eagle, man. That thing took off and flew right at our truck. We almost got a real good look at it, and it swooped up in the air right in front of us, which we've seen them from time to time, but I haven't seen one in a while. That was pretty cool. Close bird's eye view, so to speak, of a bald eagle. So that's pretty neat. All right. Let me see. Let me get my glasses. I did remember them tonight. Went out this morning. Came to church, didn't shave, didn't have my glasses. It's just one of them days, man. But years ago, and see, it's what, years ago when we were on the old side, I forgot to shave one time and came to church, and Dwight Mortz went and bought me a electric razor, and I still have it. I have it in my drawer in there, so I ran over in the bathroom and, you know, shaved up, and it's not quite as good as the other, but did well. John chapter 5, verse 1. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water, and whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in and was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. And when Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been a long time in that case, he saith unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man, when the water is troubled, to put me into the pool, but while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. And Jesus saith unto him, Rise, take up thy bed and walk. And immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. Heavenly Father, we thank you for our fellowship time and just being able to enjoy the day, enjoy you, and I pray, Lord, that you meet with us here tonight. I pray that there's an awareness of, a special awareness of your presence here today. Lord, we know that nothing's accomplished through us, just weak vessel, flesh, dust, Lord, but only through you. And we pray for the moving of yourself here tonight amongst us, Lord, and that you stir our hearts. Encourage us, Lord, and we thank you in advance for all you're going to do. In Jesus' name, I pray. I've never heard anything about this, and it just came to me while I was reading the text, and I'm not going to preach on this part of it, but I wonder why it was when the water moved that only one person could get in and get healed. I wonder why. You ever heard anything like that, Brother Don? You ever heard anybody preach on that? You have? I just happened to think about it while I was reading it. I wonder why only, like, everybody couldn't get in, especially if you couldn't limp around. After the service, you'll have to fill me in on that.
Nobody else knew either.
Oh, so somebody else preached about it, but they didn't know either. I just wondered, I mean, why just one man? You know, because here's a guy that couldn't get around too good, obviously. And God was, you know, and I never thought about it. I'm not, like I say, I'm not preaching a thing about it. I just happened to think about it when I was reading it. I wonder why only one could get in, and then the water was moving, and then that person was whole. That was probably a frustrated man that was laying there that day. So we see there, it says that a great multitude of impotent folk. Man alive, you know, it's like they probably lived around Buckhannon area at that time. I mean, since Sherry and I have moved to this area, I have never, and I don't know whether it's just because we're older, we know more people, we talked about it. It just seems like, man, it's like there's more people that's sick and got this problem and that problem. There's a lot of people. There's a lot of impotent folk, not only in the physical sense, but I think in the spiritual sense as well, as far as Christians go. But here they were, man, they were blind. It said they were some halt. That means that they are limping. Halt, that's what that means. It was withered. Their hands may be withered up. And it said this pool at Bethesda, at times the waters moved by an angel. Now, I don't know what caused that. What was somebody praying extra hard or what? But there was just just times. I mean, somebody wait and an angel moved the water somehow. And so when they noticed that the water was moving a certain way, whoever stepped in was made whole. I mean, I don't know, it would have been a good idea maybe just to get in the water every day and wait for some action, you know, have faith, right? Just get in the water and wait. But that's what happened. And, you know, when we think about that, you know, a person that can't see, somebody that's blind or somebody that has a limp, they have a physical problem, they can't walk at all, they can't use their arms or hands, you know, we know that they have a physical problem. I mean, we look at somebody, you see somebody, Walmart's a good place. When you're trying to drive down across the front of Walmart, you didn't realize how many people got a little hitch in their get along. Man, they got a walker, and they don't go straight across. They go on a diagonal across to the door, you know, so you're waiting on them, and they're limping and going and riding in the buggies and riding in the carts. And so we know, okay, something's wrong with that person. There's something wrong with them. If they can't see, something happened. We wondered, were they born blind, or did something happen? Did they go blind, you know, down the road? Or if they can't use an arm, something's wrong with that. It's a physical problem. It's obvious. They're not acting or walking or seeing, whatever it is. It's not the norm. It's not the normal thing. We know that. And we know this, that something usually causes it. Something has caused it, either by birth or by something later in life. And then another thing about disease is this, that it's possible to have a disease and not know you have it. You know, a lot of times when you get something, sometimes things come along slowly. Cancers for some. Sometimes that's why, you know, we're told to have checkups, different kinds of checkups, female, women, breast cancer, men, prostate. You know, those type things, you got to go and you get regular checkups, because if they catch it early, they can, you know, help you with it along the way. So we can have a disease and not know it, but after a while, the symptoms begin to appear after, some time later on. Sometimes, you know, if we'd have caught it earlier, you know, we might have been able to help you, but it comes along and there's a symptom. Well, in the spiritual life, when we think about this in the spiritual life, we can have a disease, as it would be. I'm just using it as a term. It's not probably not what we'd call a disease. But we can have a disease or experience what we'll call a disease as well. We can be spiritually not healthy, and we can be spiritually not made whole in the spiritual sense as well as the physical. So we think about that. What are the symptoms of a diseased spiritual life? What are the symptoms of that? Well, one right off the bat, and I'm probably not going to be able to exhaust this topic, but a weakness in prayer would be an indication of a faulty spiritual life, a disease. Like I say, it's not really a disease. Some theologian would probably say, well, you know, we don't have a disease in our spiritual. But in a sense, we do. We can have it. So there's a lack of power. The inability to walk joyfully in a new and living way. And I'm going to talk about that because we're talking about somebody, a man that couldn't walk very well. You know, that we don't walk joyfully in the power of the Lord. Well, listen, look around at Christendom today. When we look at Christians everywhere, are we seeing people walking in the power of God, in the power of the Holy Spirit? I mean, they've got joy of God on their face, and they're not grumbling, they're not complaining, they're not whining. Who is that? We don't know. You know, we're not seeing that. You know, so I would say that there's some Christian folks. I'm not saying any of them are here. I'm just saying there's Christian folks that have some spiritual disease in their life, and we know that. Spiritual weakness is a sign of a spiritual sickness. If we're not walking in the power of the Spirit, I mean, listen, the Holy Spirit's not weak. The Holy Spirit's not sick. He's not running a fever. He's not feeling bad. There's nothing wrong with the Holy Spirit. If we're not walking in the power of God, if we're not walking in the newness of life, if we're not walking in joy and the love of Christ, I'm going to tell you something's wrong. If you're saved, something's wrong with you spiritually speaking, right? There's a spiritual sickness of some kind going on. Now, there, like I said, I'll never wear this out and not intending to and not really trying to, but I want to just talk about a few points that I think that we would see and some of the common problems in Christianity. And I can tell you this by experience, because this was my Christian life for most of the way until I learned now, even though now sometimes it rears its old ugly head, but I know better now. I know better than that. This is one of our problems. Now listen here, you're going to think at first when I first say this, he don't know what he's talking about, but I know what I'm talking about. Mixing law and grace. Now see, we study this in the New Testament. We're talking about it some in Romans. We've been looking at that. And when we study it in the New Testament in the normal way, we think about like it's a Jewish problem. You know, because they came out from under the law, and they, you know, and the law said, do this, don't do that. And what happened? They found out they couldn't keep the law, and that's why they found out they needed Christ, right? I mean, they could keep some of the law some of the time, but not all the law all the time. And they found out that it was just pointing them to schoolmaster, pointing them to Christ, pointing them to a new and living way. Now, we don't have a problem that way too much. We don't think the same way. I guess we really do have that problem, but it just shows up in another way. And a lot of people suffer. This is one of those diseases that Christians suffer, and they don't know they have the disease. They don't know they have the problem. Bear with me. And there's symptoms of that. It's like we pray because the preacher and the Bible tells us that we ought to pray how often? Always, without ceasing, right? Pray always without ceasing. We're supposed to pray. We know we're supposed to pray. So what we do is we go a lot of times and we force ourselves to pray. But sometimes, don't we neglect that? Don't sometimes you get running around in the morning like a chicken with your head cut off and you're already behind and boom, man, and you're going to the car with hitting the remote start and praying, Lord, be with me. Don't let me crash into anything on the way to work. You know, we do that. We do those things. We say, well, you know, I need to pray. And then when we do it, we did a whole study on prayer. We talked about it. Well, I think it's probably the weakest thing that Christians do today is pray. Why? I know Satan fights us hard in that spot right there, because there's power with God through prayer. The prayer is not the power, but God is the power. But there's Satan fights us. I understand that. The flesh fights us as well. But so what we do is, well, we hear a lesson or somebody preaches about prayer. What do we say? Man, I got to pray more. We say that, right? And then what do we do? Huh? How are we doing with that? Huh? We fail a lot of times, don't we? We say, but man, I got to pray more. Well, I got to pray longer. All right, well, that's good. Well, then you get a little more spiritual and you say, well, I got to pray better, which is a good idea. I got to pray better. I'm asking the wrong things. And then we say, man, I got to do it. But you know what? We don't enjoy it. You know, it's like, whoo, man, you know what? Remember, and we talked about the sweet hour of prayer. When we go to the prayer advance, the sweet hour of prayer, everybody said, man, I ain't never prayed for an hour. Fortunately for us, Harold gives out a little thing that gives you a guideline, and you can kind of get to an hour and maybe a little more, right, Damien? Sometimes we can go a little longer when we get down there. If you just concentrate on confessing sins, you get an hour easy, right? And so, but we say, well, you know, I'm going to pray. So we think, well, you know what? And I said this before, 5 minutes praying is a long time. In not to God, but I mean to us, right? 5 minutes. So we time ourselves, right? We talked about it here about, you know, sometime in the last year, talked about it. Okay, time yourself the next time you pray. You pray, boy, you think you're doing good. You know, 1 minute and 7.5 seconds. You know, boy, whoo, I think I was going a long time. You know, it was a long time. So we think, okay, I'm going to pray more. I'm going to pray longer. Now, we're not praying longer because it's flowing from a life that's walking in the power of God. We're praying longer because we think we ought to pray longer, and we want to check the box off on the chart that we got hanging on the wall that we prayed a long time that day. But see, that's still a spiritual, that's still mixing law and grace. Because we're under the law, we pray because we're supposed to. We pray because we have to. We pray because the word says it. But it's not natural, it's not a natural flow. It's we're trying to mix law and grace of God together. You see, we're trying to do it in our, this is roughly it, but I'll give you some more illustration. It's really when we're trying to mix doing it in our strength with God's help. That's mixing law and grace right there. That's the Christian mixture of law and grace that we're guilty of, and a lot of times we don't know that we're doing that. And then what happens, you know, if you don't enjoy something, you're probably not going to do it much, right? Like, I go to the dentist. I've been going more, honestly. I got regular appointments now. Like, if they give me an appointment, okay, I got to go. And I have to. But if it's like, you just call when you're ready to come, okay, I'll see you in about 5 years, you know. Because I don't like going. But I had a bunch of work done, and I done got used to it now. They're better or what, but I'm braver. I don't know what it is. But if we don't enjoy it, we're not going to pursue it. See, and if we don't enjoy the spiritual things, we won't continue, or we'll have a hard time, and we don't pursue it. Now, it's always important to distinguish the difference between the symptom and the disease itself. There's always a difference. Symptoms are one thing, but what's causing it is something else, you know, and we have to figure that out and what it is. And the believer who lives partly under the law and partly under grace is really, they're mixing what God can do with what they can do. Now, a lot of Christians live right here in this spot right here. They operate in the power of self-effort and then ask God to help. And, you know, and this is where, you know, most of my Christian life, I was trying to do what I knew I was supposed to do in my power. It was a frustrating thing. It was a frustrating thing. It wasn't an enjoyable thing. Christianity was a burden. I mean, Christianity was weighing me down because it's like, oh, man, the effort it took, right? Just like a Jews under the law, they were trying to do it. They could do some of the stuff. But you know, we're trying to do it. We didn't realize it. Man, I didn't realize, you know, you got to surrender before you can do anything. You know, I got some more stuff for you down the road on Sunday night. I'm a little bit out of order, but we'll get it all caught up down the road. But and so, and most of my life, my early Christian life, I could just look back and think, man, what a struggle. I went to church on Wednesday night. You know why? Because I didn't want the preacher thinking bad, because I wasn't there on Wednesday night. I was supposed to go. He's going to say something about it if I didn't go. Did I not want to go? Most of the time, no, I didn't. I'd be driving home from work. I drive a long way. We commuted a long way, driving home from work and thinking, you know, I think I'm coming down with something. I feel a little tickle in my throat. Honey, I don't know if I ought to go because I'm really worried about everybody else and I don't want them to get it. You know, looking out for you, that's love. That's the love of God pouring out of my heart. I didn't want to. I think I'll just stay home. And by the time she gets home, oh, I feel great. It's a miracle. It was a miracle healing. I must have got in some water that was moving. And you know what? I mean, I was trying to think of stuff. See, I wanted to justify it. I was too convicted to just say, I ain't going. So I had to justify it by saying, I might have something and I don't want nobody else to catch it. Any other time, I wouldn't care. But, you know, so it was like, it was this battle, and it went on in a lot of areas of Christianity, not just that, a lot of areas. And so what we do, and what we did a lot of times as a Christian when we mix law and grace is what we do. We try to do our best and then ask God to help us. Listen, God don't want you to do your best. Let me tell you what God wants from you. He wants to crucify you, huh? He wants you dead so that he can live through you. And he can't do it any other way. This is what God wants from us. And so, and what happens when we tried to do our best? Well, it wasn't too good. It didn't work out too good. It was bad. Working our strength, helped by God, is mixing law and grace in that sense. And listen, a lot of people stay in that state their whole life, their whole Christian life. I'm not saying they're not saved. They're just not enjoying anything. They're going to get to heaven one day and go, wow, man, I didn't have no idea it was like this. It can be here on earth like that. It can be here on earth like that. They didn't know it. And so all failures in the Christian life is the symptom of the disease of trying to live by the law and not by the grace of God. By the power of God. That's all failures. All failures. Romans 5:17 said, For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, that one man's offense was Adam, death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace, it says, and the gift of righteousness shall, listen, reign in life. They shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. We'll reign in life. We can reign in life. Not sin, not failure. We can reign in life through Jesus Christ, see? So there it is. Now, where did death reign by one man? In the heart and in the life. And abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in the life, in the heart and in the life. That's victory over sin right there. We shall reign by one man, Jesus Christ. So victory over all the failures in the Christian life are through that one man, Jesus Christ. And that's not a spiritually sick man either. Now, the marks of spiritual health. What are the marks of spiritual health? Our text deals with one, and that one is walking. Walking. He said, Jesus said to this man, he said, listen, he said, rise up and walk. In other words, rise up and get back into life. He wasn't productive in society. He couldn't help his family. He couldn't do anything in life. All he did all day long was lay by the pool and wait for this angel to stir the water, and he would try to get over there somehow, work his way over. If I was him, I used to preach on this and say, man, I'd get right there laying right on the edge of it, just staring right there at the water like this, and as soon as I saw some movement, boy, I'd try to fall off in there as fast as I could. But he wasn't productive in life. And so listen, he said, listen, walk, man, get back into life. Start living, start working, start providing for yourself and for your family and contributing to things. But see, look how many Christians are walking through their Christian life, limping, dragging a foot behind, not productive. It's a symptom. It's a symptom of a spiritual problem. Forward movement. Walking means progress. You're not walking backwards, you're walking forward. You're walking, it's a progress, it's movement. It's movement in life. You're going somewhere. And it's the same way in Christian life. Listen, when you think about this man that couldn't walk, forward progress was a burden. It was an effort, man. It was a weariness of just trying to get just a simple thing of maybe going, if you couldn't walk, just going from here to that chair, dragging yourself along with your arms, whatever you could to get there. It was an effort. But listen, Christ said, rise up and walk. That's what he said, rise up and walk. This was going to take that burden away, right? When we get down to the end there, we'll see a little bit more about that. Now, you know, the Bible tells us Enoch didn't see death. Translated that he wouldn't see death. Why? But the Bible says Enoch walked with God. He walked with God. Think about that, walking with God. How much trouble are you going to get in there? He walking with God. How much trouble are you going to fall into? Even things from external things like enemies. You walking with God, you worrying about an enemy? You worried about anything when you're walking with God? Why? Man, I mean, just think, I used to say about the apostles and that, boy, I would, hanging around with Jesus, man, this guy could raise the dead. He could heal anybody just by looking at him, just by touching him. I wouldn't get too far away from him, right? Because anything happened to you, he could take care of it, right? I mean, just like that. Enoch walked with God. Isaiah said, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, and they shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Right along in there, something about an eagle in it, Randy. There's something about an eagle in that section right there. Mount up with wings like eagles, right? Man, I guess it was ironic that we saw that today. Rise up. They shall run, not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Romans 6:4, the last little part of it. That like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. It didn't said it said not only we can, but it said we should walk in the newness of life. Colossians 2:6, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. Walk ye in him. That's what he said, to walk. 1 John 2:6, he that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked. It really would be him walking, right? But, you know, a lot of times Christians believe, you know, I think people like this, the faith is such or weak as such that they don't believe that we can walk in his power. They just don't believe it. They believe that it's not possible, that it's not so. And they become so used to living in a powerless, non-productive life. They don't desire anything different. They don't know to desire anything different. They just think this is the way it's going to be. I mean, you know, salvation, sure. Going to heaven, sure. But walking in the power, walking in newness of life in this earth, that's what he's talking about. He's not talking about when we get to heaven. That would be a given, right? He's talking about in this life. We can walk in newness of life. Walk, moving forward, progress, doing something, going somewhere, being productive, all those things that go with that. It can be in this life, right? But note who gave the man at the pool the command, the power. When Jesus gave the command, he gave him the power to obey the command. When he gave him the command, he said, rise up and walk. It wasn't in this man's effort, this man's strength. Trust me, this guy had tried to walk plenty of times. If he could have got up and walked, he'd have got up and walked. He could not get up and walk. He had a whatever it was problem. We don't know what the problem was. But he had a problem. He couldn't rise. But when Jesus said, listen, rise up and walk. Here was a man that was formerly physically dead in that regard as to walking, as we were in sins, dead in trespasses and sins. And he said, now he's telling us that we can walk in newness of life. We should walk in the newness of life. Where does the power come from? It comes from Christ himself. We have the power to walk in newness and should walk in the power and newness of life. Man, that's an exciting thing. Man, just sit down there every morning. This is what I do every morning. I didn't learn this early in my Christian life. I just learned it the last bunch of years. Every morning I get up and think, man, I can fellowship with God Almighty. Man, I can fellowship with Christ. I'm looking at him and I'm thinking, man, he's not up in heaven, man, he's in me. I look at the glory of the trees all turning colors, man, the blue sky, it's beautiful, man, and I can have fellowship with God and I can feel his presence, man, and I can walk in that power. Man, I think about that. I mean, I consciously think about it. A lot of times people don't consciously think about it. Why? Because they're back there under the law thinking, man, I got to do it. I sure hope God's going to help me. God help me, you know, and we wait for some crisis to come along and think, well, maybe it'd be a good idea to pray right here, right? Maybe it'd be a good idea to pray. Yeah, you know, that's what we do. And so, how Jesus makes us whole, I didn't give her any points, but when the doctor heals the patient, he basically treats him externally in a sense, even though they may operate or whatever, but he basically treats him externally, and the doctor's hope is this. The doctor's hope, a physical doctor, his hope is that you will get well enough that you will no longer need his services. Now, some doctors probably don't hope that. They kind of milk you along for all they can get, but that's another story. But I'm saying basically they want you to get well, and you don't have to go to the doctor anymore, and you don't have to take any more medicine, and that's it. But Jesus operates the opposite of that. He works internally by entering into our very being by the power of his Spirit. And instead of wanting us to be independent of his assistance, as a matter of fact, his whole purpose of healing us is that has this one condition with it of success, is to bring us to dependence on him so much so that we are not able for 1 minute to live without him, or do not even want to live without him for 1 minute, 1 second. That's what he's trying to do. That's his whole purpose. When he touches us, when he heals us, he wants us to realize. I like the one guy that was one of the guys that he healed, came to my mind suddenly, when he healed and he told him, he said, listen, you know, he told him not to say anything about it. And one of the guys wanted to be with him. What did he want to do right away? He wanted to stay with Jesus. You can understand that. He wanted to be with him. Boy, that's a great text. And Jesus told him to go home and tell his friends about it. He said, go home and tell them what happened. But he just said, man, I just want to stay with you. That's what Jesus really wants in the long run. He wants us to stay with him. He wants us to be him to become our life. Galatians 2:20, one of my favorite verses in the Bible, crucified with Christ, yet not I, and yet I live, not I, but Christ that lives within me. Huh? And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Man, what a great verse. That's a great verse. That's what it's talking about. The sickly Christian has the problem of expecting Christ to work in occasional special moments. Kind of like Peter walking on the water and, Lord, help me, prayed. That you know, that was most of my Christian life. Might be yours now. You know, you just pray. You know, the things that you can handle on your own, you handle them on your own. You're not asking God's help for that. But listen, if he wants us to pray always, what are we going to be praying about? Everything, right? And so pray all. So everything that we do. Everything that we do, constant communion, communication with God, that's what he wants. But we had these problems. Boy, something's coming up. I need to pray. Even, and we get more spiritual, it'll be smaller things. Well, I'm getting ready to drive on 81. Not a bad idea to pray. I'm going to go somewhere, I'll pray. But that still may not be always. Maybe you hadn't prayed already all day. You know, this is what we do. We want occasional things or special moments. Help us to get over the hump. Help us to make it through the storm. Help us during some kind of crisis or difficulty in our life. That's still living partially in law and grace, because what are you doing the rest of the time? Operating in your own power. Things that you can do yourself. You know, there's things that we all can do, right? I mean, I know when I get up in the morning, I can tie my boots on. I can do that. I need God's help for that. Now, it may get to a point where, but I mean, I still think he wants us to be in fellowship and communion with him, and he wants us to still, you're still going to have to do the tie-in. I don't think he's going to tie them for you, but it's not, you know what I'm saying? You're getting what I'm saying? There's a lot of things that we can do in life that we can do without God, but God doesn't want us to do it without him. That's the whole deal. That's what Jesus wants that way. And then, like I said, so we go through the difficulty, then we're back to our strength, our power, law, and grace. Christ gives us health by giving us himself. That's another thing. The things that we ask for so many times, we're thinking that they're separate from Christ himself. Lord, give me peace. Well, I'll tell you what peace is. It's him. You know, give me love. It's him. It's not. He doesn't say, here's love. Or if you go to the Galatians 5:22, the fruit of the Spirit. I'm in the right book, right? it's one fruit, many things. None of them are separate from Christ. You don't get this and didn't get that. You don't get love and not get peace. And you don't get, you know, long suffering and not get joy. It's all wrapped up in the person of Christ. It's him. He's it. He's it. And so, and that, boy, I'll tell you what, when you got Jesus, you're made whole. That's what's missing. That's why you're limping around. That's what's missing in your life. It's Christ himself. Made whole. There's nothing else. We're not going to make ourselves whole. And we're not going to be whole even if Jesus did only give you one thing, peace. And then he said, well, I'll dole out a little bit of love. You'd still be missing. He doesn't do it that way. He gives you himself. All of himself. When you got all of them, you got it all, right? And then you are made whole. Nobody's whole. And listen, even as a Christian, even though you may have Christ, if you're saved, you have the Holy Spirit of God. You have Christ in that sense. We have God. But listen, if we're quenched and grieving the Spirit, and we do that when we don't fully trust him all the way, but you don't know it. So you don't know that you have Christ, that you have him. You have it all. Everything you're looking for is there. It's there already. And you'll be made whole when you rest in him. So what does Christ ask of us? Three things, man. I'll lay it on you and then we'll get out. He said, he asked this question, wilt thou be made whole? In other words, he appealed to the will of this man that was laying there. Do you want it? Now, how many of us been lame all our life or as long as this man have ever? This is a long time. We've been lame. We couldn't walk. And somebody walked up and said, listen, do you want to walk? What would we say? Yeah, man. Yeah, every single one of us. All right, now let me ask you this. If you realize that you're spiritually sick, spiritually diseased, how many of you want to be made whole? Huh? Is it, you want to say it the same? Well, the spirit, if the water's moving, right? What's the fear that arises at the question? You know, we talked about it some this morning, afraid of self-denial, afraid of sacrifice, whatever, whatever. What do you think that man would have given to be able to walk? Everything. Everything. Are you willing to give everything to be spiritually whole? Would you give everything for that? Do it. Then do it, right? He asked him, he appealed to his will. And then the second thing, a confession of helplessness. The man said, I have no man to help me. That when the water moves, I have no man to help me. And that's what Jesus wants us to confess as well, that we can't do it ourselves. There's no man can help us. We can't, even us, our own man, we cannot help ourselves. There's no other help but him. Paul asked, who shall deliver us from this body of death? Right? It's Jesus, right? It's just Jesus. You know, we can confess, listen, you know, I don't pray as I should. You know why? You can't. Some of my phone is chirping. You can't. We confess that we don't love as we should. You can't. It's got to be Christ. It's got to be him. He's got to be fully in us. He's the only one. Jesus can. Listen, Jesus can pray as he should, right? Jesus can love as he should, right? And if it's his life and not our life, then that'll be the truth. We'll pray as we should, and because it'll be really him. We can't do anything that we should apart from Christ. If we do, we're mixing law and grace. We got the same problem that the Jews had. It's his power. It's his life. And then the third thing, a ready obedience. He commanded to rise up and walk. It had to be obeyed. He had to obey it. What if he didn't? He'd still been laying at the pool till the day he died. He'd still been laying at the pool. Rise up and walk. See, Christ gave him the command, but it still wasn't in his strength. It was still Christ's power. But you have to respond to the power, right? If you're saved, you have the Holy Spirit of God. Everything that the Bible commands us to do, we can do it. Everything that he tells us to do, we can do it. We can witness to somebody else. We can witness to other people. We can walk in the newness of life. We can have the victory over sin. All those things, it's all possibilities. The Bible tells us it's so. It's there. And he had to do it. By faith, he obeyed. And what did Jesus say? Jesus didn't say it to him particularly, but he said it to other people. He said, thy faith hath made thee whole. Thy faith has made thee whole. Faith in him, of course. Faith in him hath made thee whole. And he asked the same faith of us to make us whole, whole spiritually. And it will change our sickness into strength. It's a possible life. It's been proved. Listen, saints all down through the ages, Bible saints, old yesteryear in America, saints living in this day and time. It's been proved over and over and over down through the ages that we can walk in this power. We can walk in this strength. This life, it's a possible life. Now listen, when the lame man was made whole, he still had things to learn. He had things he had to do. Listen, he had this newfound strength, and he probably had to learn how to do things, walk things, you know, just working things around. He had to learn all that. And we may have to learn some things. You know what? When we walk in this newfound strength and this power, when we're made whole from our spiritual sickness, we may have to learn how to pray all over again. It's going to be a whole new experience. We have to learn a lot of things all over. We have to learn how to love all over again. But the first thing Jesus said, he rise up and walk. And actually, it's not the first thing it says, but he says it here. But it means forward progress. Now, Watchman Nee, if you know, Watchman Nee was a Chinese Christian, I guess 1900, somewhere along in there. He wrote a book called Sit, Walk, Stand. And he said this, listen, and I might back up on some of this down the road here on Sunday night. But he said this, listen, walking's not the first thing. He said sitting is the first thing. You have to learn how to rest in Christ before you can walk. And I see what he's saying. You got to learn that. You got to sit at the feet of Jesus. And learn of him. And the Christian experience doesn't begin with walking. That's our problem. A lot of times we're trying to walk and we haven't sat. We haven't rested. We haven't rested in Christ. It begins with rest, not a struggle. And we started out with a struggle. That's how I started out. Struggling to do what I could only do through Christ living in me and having freedom to live in me. I was trying to do it in my strength, even though I was saved. And went a lot of my Christian life. What did you get done for God? Not much. Not probably anything, really. Probably didn't get anything. That lame man had wrestled all the time to move around. But boy, he rested faith in Christ. And buddy, after he did, after he put faith, that was a restful thing. You don't drum it up. You don't work it up. It's not an effort. He rested in Christ. And when he rested in Christ, guess what Jesus said? Rise up and walk. And then, so he had faith. Then he said, rise up and walk. Sitting describes our position in the heavenlies with Christ, and walking is the practical outworking in that heavenly position here on earth. That's what it is. Boy, that's it. You know, you might have a symptom. You might have a spiritual disease, sickness, symptom. But that doesn't tell you what the problem is. You know, the problem is trying to mix our strength and God's strength together instead of resting in him and walking and rising up and walking after we rest in him. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Well, rise up. Rise up and stand. We had to sit, walk, and we can stand. Amen. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word, and help us, Lord. Help us to keep trusting you, resting in you, Lord, realizing just surrender, Lord. We can't do it. We cannot do it apart from you. Help us to understand that. Ask it in Jesus' name. You have your will and way in this invitation in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor. Hymn 244, Amazing Grace.
Amazing grace, how sweet.